June 4, The Positive Mind. Stay tuned.
Everybody, Ben Starr with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And in the studio with me today, Kevin O'Donohue, of course, director of the new Positive Mind Center. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Ben. It's good to be back.
And we are here Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. It's a big day, Kevin. It's a big day because this is really, in many ways, a reset. It's the beginning of the next cycle.
Somebody said to me yesterday, Happy New Year.
Yeah. Well, it is the new year in many ways, Kevin. It is the first day of a new year, symbolically, on many levels. It is really back to routine.
Mm-hmm.
It is back to the schedule, back to the day-to-day,
yeah,
back to school, and back to work for many people.
Sure.
And, you know, we stand here Tuesday after Labor Day, really what is essentially the end of the summer. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about vacations, we've been talking about nostalgia, and here we are, Tuesday after Labor Day, getting back to the nitty-gritty of real life, of day-to-day, everyday routine and schedule.
God, it sounds so terrible.
It sounds however you want to hear it. It sounds however you want to perceive it. The reality is we are back to the grind, and we wanted to break that down. We wanted to get into that and discuss what that means for you, for us, for everyone out there, because this is a time of transition. This is a big time shift that everyone is dealing with today.
Yes, and how to face the grind with a positive mind. I like the rhyme. You get the rhyme? Face the grind with a positive mind. How do we do that? Some of it might have to do with remembering who you were and what you got in touch with when you let go of your working self. And some people can't go on vacation or didn't go on vacation. So they might not have access to their non-working self. But you can get there.
What do you mean by that, Kevin, the non-working self?
I mean the hectic, pressured, stressed, compulsive. I think the word compulsive self covers it the most, because when you're in that mindset of work, something is always drawing you back to more of it. You want to clear your space, and yet it never seems to get cleared, especially now with being connected 24/7.
Sure.
That you can always take your work with you, and more people are doing that.
And it's not even that you can, Kevin. It's that you kind of have to.
That too.
You kind of have to. I mean, look, we all, for the most part, we're all connected through the internet, through email. And look, I mean, you get an email from the boss at 7, 8 o'clock at night. You know, yeah, technically, you don't have to respond to it, but most people are going to. Yeah. Most people are going to. And I think that's what you're pointing to.
Yes, I am pointing to that, that we're constantly being drawn back, and sometimes unwillingly and other times willingly drawn back to the mindset of the non-vacation or non-working self. Always working, more than ever. We can use the excuse, no, I have to work. No, I can't go. I have to work. I am working.
And no one questions that, right? If you use that excuse for why you can't make it to some sort of social function,
right?
Almost no one will question that.
Yeah, because a lot of people know that, hey, they might be working. So I'll give them the break. I won't challenge it. Okay. So it's an easy thing to let people off the hook with.
Well, I want to go back to something you said, Kevin, which was the non-working self and people being in touch with that or not being in touch with that. Mm. We talked about vacation last week. We talked about the benefits of vacation. We talked about the language behind vacation, mm-hmm. right? And then the word vacate.
Yeah.
And how that's connected to vacation and the word recreate in the context of recreation.
Yes. Yes.
What are the benefits of the, let's just run it back really quickly because we talked about this last week, but just to reiterate the benefits of taking a vacation upon returning to work.
You mean not returning to work?
What the benefits that a person who has just been on vacation and is now back to work is enjoying over a colleague who maybe didn't take vacation?
Oh, that's a great question. I think everybody knows. For me, it breaks down to like the word space. You know, I just had a 4-day, well, 5-day vacation or break from work, and I feel a tremendous spaciousness in myself. Because the hardest thing and the most difficult thing I had to worry about was, you know, what I'm going to do for lunch and what I'm going to make for lunch. So, you know, I basically let go of all my compulsions, all the things that drag me back into a working mindset. And having resisted that temptation day after day after day, I feel like I have this tremendous space between me and my work and my obligations and the world. You know, I mean, even the car next to me driving feels a little further away today, you know, just to give you a sort of metaphor.
So we know also, Kevin, that people who go on vacation come back and there is a kind of a bump in happiness and in productivity.
Yeah.
And then there's a slide towards something called post-vacation blues or another way of putting it a little more clinically, re-entry stress.
Yeah.
What is reentry stress? It is what people feel after a vacation, after some time off, getting back to their regular routine, their regular structure and schedule, and rediscovering their day-to-day life and feeling a dissatisfaction because maybe their vacation was so unusual. Maybe they spent a little more money than they usually spend. Maybe they were more active than usual, and now back into the day-to-day schedule, feeling a dissatisfaction or even a small depression, if you want to call it that. And we know it's called post-vacation blues or re-entry stress, and it tends to be because the transition from the vacation back to the working schedule, the day-to-day schedule, that transition is too abrupt, and it creates a stress that actually has physical manifestations, believe it or not, like physical, like back pain, neck pain, digestive problems, sleeping problems. What would you say about dealing with post-vacation stress? How would you go about advising someone how to deal with that?
Well, it's kind of, I think if we all know it at a certain point, and we all know it as adults. I mean, you start to feel it, you know, at maybe 20, 21, 22, 23, or in your 20s when you really love a vacation. You were used to vacations when you were in your teen years, but, you know, then in your 20s, you love the vacations because now you know what it's like to be in the work world. And so as you get older, you really know what's waiting for you, that this post, what do you call it, vacation blues or reentry stress?
Post-vacation blues, reentry stress.
So you know it's going to be there, and so the best thing is to plan for it. You know, how can you make the entry smoother? What can you do ahead of time before you leave? I mean, I consciously made my home, you know, welcoming before I left because I know what it's like to come home and you know, have things in disarray.
So what, you just tidied up?
I tidied up, and I cleared my desk, you know, and I made my bedroom, you know, nice and, yeah. So I had no chores when I came home. And so that's the main thing to do. And then there are other things you can do when that, you know, when the blues creep in, which is remind yourself of the pleasant moments. I mean, why does this have to leave us so quickly? I mean, I'm glad that this conversation isn't bringing me down because, you know, it tells me I had a really good time, a really good vacation. Why does it have to vanish so quickly? So one of the things you can do is to remember moments, like we were talking about nostalgia. Now, when we talked about nostalgia, we were talking about finding memories, finding a moment where you felt yourself expansive and growing. And, you know, we all know that life is difficult. It was difficult in the moments that I'm remembering. It was difficult when I was a teenager. It was difficult in my 20s. But we can go back and find memories that amidst the difficulty, you know, they were treasured moments. And by doing that, by looking back, you can recognize a sort of continuity in your life. I'm that person who had that great time back in, you know, 1973. Or 1985. I'm that person. I was there. I remember that. I remember who I was. I remember what I was feeling. And we realized, and the research said that, you know, nostalgizing is a good thing. That you can use it as a tool to go back to periods of your life and reconnect with yourself and come out of that memory with a sense of continuity in yourself. We call it integrity. You feel integral. You feel like a whole being. And I think the same thing you can do with a vacation. It's a conscious thing. You have to consciously do it. But the question becomes, why do I have to lose it so quickly? And you don't. You can hang on to it. I mean, I brought back a bunch of seashells, you know, and I brought back a piece of rope that was anchored to a boat.
Did you go out to the beach?
Yeah, I was out in Greenport. So okay. I was on the water for 5 days.
Very nice.
You know. So I got in touch with a more spacious self, a less compulsive self, and I want to hang on to that. And these mementos, these things from the beach, you know, can subtly tell me, hey, you know, I had a good time last week. Or
so you think mementos and keepsakes and souvenirs are sure. A nice way to reconnect with that?
Yeah. Subtly, you know, it's a kind of unconscious thing. I mean, if you see somebody wearing a T-shirt in the location that you were on vacation, it can spur some sort of trickle of nice, warm memories.
Mm.
So that sort of happens unconsciously. But we can also do it deliberately and consciously. So planning, coming back. Would be one way, and also linking the past, linking your vacation to your present.
Interesting. And you know, when we talk about the concept of post-vacation blues, Kevin, it kind of reminds me of the feeling and the phenomenon of coming to work on a Monday after a nice weekend and feeling a little down that it's Monday. Mm. It's just on a larger scale, isn't it? Because in a sense, the weekends are our little mini vacations to kind of decompress and heal up from the week,
yeah.
And then we take a longer vacation, right? And that's maybe a more pronounced version of what happens on a typical weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there it is, sort of like a Monday phenomenon, isn't it?
Right. Yes, and you know, you use the word recreation. I mean, when we're off of work, when we're our work is done, we get to recreate who we are. And so I think we should have callers call in later about like vacations where they felt like changed, you know, different, that they became capable of making changes in their life because they got in touch with a different aspect of themselves. Well, weekends can be the same thing. I mean, think about it. You have 58 hours on a weekend, you know, and you can sort of recreate what you go back to or who you take with you when you go back to work on Monday. I mean, it's a little optimistic, but it's doable. It's possible.
That's a good point. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI in New York City. I'm Ben Starr, joined here with Kevin O'Donohue of the Positive Mind Center here on West 57th Street. Just want to remind our listeners, please become a BAI buddy. You can do that by going to WBAI.org, clicking on Ways to Donate, and becoming a BAI buddy in honor of the Positive Mind. If you like this show, if you appreciate the content that you've heard here this year, over the years, last year, over the decades that this show has been broadcasting on this station, we're asking you to become a BAI buddy and make a recurring tax-deductible contribution to this station to help keep WBAI and the Positive Mind on the air. We're talking about getting back to work after vacation, and it's kind of a timely topic because it's Tuesday after Labor Day. This is kind of the kickoff for the regular year. Mm. You know, when you want to consider kids getting back to school, students of all ages getting back to school, and that this is sort of the beginning, as you said, Kevin, of a year that really ends around Memorial Day or July 4th, you know, mm-hmm. depending on how you want to look at it, with maybe a midway point of the New Year's and holiday season. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And I felt it, you know, just in the air. I mean, you feel the weather has changed.
Yes, this morning. Right.
You know, all of a sudden, yeah. It's absolutely not summer anymore. I mean, yes, technically it's summer for another couple of weeks. Yeah. But, you know, we are moving out of that paradigm of summertime, you know, the carefree summer months.
Here's a thought. Yesterday was a good day to get a sunburn. So you can carry it with you for the week into the fall. That's one memento from the summer. But what a big transition. You're right.
It is. And we wanted to just get into really psychologically what that can do to a person. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy for a lot of reasons. And it was very exciting talking about, we did some shows on nostalgia, not last week, mm-hmm. but the week before. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really useful, Kevin. Getting into that and talking about what that does for us, because right now we're at a time where there is a lot of nostalgia, and not all of it is necessarily the warm and fuzzy kind, right? We're in this kind of back to school mentality,
yeah.
of this kind of hunker down and you know, get back on the grind sort of thing. And I'm wondering, you know, the work that you do, Kevin, you deal with a lot of people that are experiencing all different kinds of stress.
Yeah.
All different kinds of issues, but I'm wondering what you tell people when it comes to these kind of transitions, whether it's a seasonal transition, a personal transition, because at its core, what we're going through right now collectively is a major transition across the board in many
mm-hmm.
ways,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just wondering your take on that.
Well, often when people are in stress or under stress or in transition, you know, they emphasize their deficits. You know, they emphasize what's missing, what's lacking, and how they feel generally depressed or anxious. You know, they're focused on this aspect of themselves. And, you know, I can hold that. I can listen to that. But I have to bear in mind the positives of this person and subtly somehow feed them back to the person. That, you know, you're anxious. Yes, you're depressed. Yes, you're under stress. Yes, you could use vacation. Yes, you could use downtime. But you're this also, you know. Remember when you said this 2 weeks ago? Remember when you said that a month ago? Remember how you treated that person, you know, 6 months ago? So, you know, there's a glimmer for people that I work with when I can hold both their negative feelings and also sort of shine a light on some of their positive qualities.
You think most people go through a transition and go into a negative place mentally?
Well, you know, we have seasonal affective disorder. You know, we're going into that. And you mentioned, like, this subtle change. You know, yes, people go, it's a real thing. I mean, people definitely have a change in mood in the mid, you know, early month of September, early days of September. I used to have it, and I used to feel it maybe last week in August. It's a very, very subtle thing. When you can hear the leaves drying on the trees, and you just hear the wind blow, and that happened, you know, last week for me.
I heard that this morning.
You know, and years past, that affected me. I mean, I immediately had a sort of choked up in my throat, and, you know, congestion in my nose and pressure in my head, and I said, uh-oh, You know, these are symptoms of, you know, seasonal affective disorder. So people definitely struggle with transitions. And so part of my job is to show them there's this continuity. Yes, you're in a transition. Yes, it's another year. But you're the same person you were in June. The same person you were at Christmas.
So it's the external that changes.
But it creates an internal change in people. Yes, the external changes. But this is, sometimes they're clouded by their internal mood. So they don't really get a full sense of who they are. And part of therapy is to be able to realize, hey, yes, I have down moments. Yes, I do struggle with anxiety and stress. Yes, I do have all of these things. But I have a lot of positives that counter those things. I am, you know, put together. I'm all together. I am one piece. And so when we talk about nostalgia, we talk about vacations, we talk about connections to ourselves that can feed and nurture these difficult moments. You know, one thing about vacation is, or time away from work is, like I say, you get in touch with this different self, you know, your stress-free self. And we all have that, and we like that. I have yet to meet a person who doesn't like themselves, that self that they have, where they're not stressed. Because it often reminds them of when they were young. They feel some youthfulness in them. Have you ever come back from a vacation, like, ready for change?
Sure, yeah.
Ready to do something different.
Absolutely. And you talk about the connection with the child and the inner child. I think what it could be, Kevin, is the inner child really was coming from a place of either low to no responsibility, right?
Yeah.
And that's really what we're getting in a vacation. We're going away from our daily grind of I must, and we're going into a place of I want to instead of I must.
Yeah.
And that is very childlike in and of itself.
Yeah.
And that may be the reason why people were able to connect with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And the I want to part, I mean, for me, you know, we made communal meals. And I remember as a kid, you know, you didn't have to pay for your meals. The refrigerator had food in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never thought to, oh, I have to go to work in order to get food in the fridge. It was there.
Right.
You know, so for us, we all, you know, bought communal food and communally prepared it. And, you know, it was like anything you want. You know, it was like this freedom that you weren't just fixing a meal just to feed yourself, but it was like ceremonial. And it really made it feel like it was being served to us, even though we made it. It was almost served to us, like a kid feels when they get dinner served to them,
mm-hmm.
or such things. So these are, you know, to get away from I have to or
I must.
What I want.
Right.
And like I said, you know, the hardest part of these five stress-free days was, what do I want for lunch? There's five options. You know, so we're talking about vacation. You know, but really we're talking about the non-working self. Who are you when you're not working? And can you get in touch with that person even on just a two-day vacation, a two-day weekend? And you know, can you prolong that? Take it with you into the work week, you know? Keep your positive mind amidst the grind.
It's a good question, Kevin.
Yeah. So
it's a very good question, and I would like to hear from our listeners in a little bit here after this. Just a reminder, you are tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We are talking about the back-to-work phenomenon. It's Tuesday after Labor Day. It's kind of the day where everything is settling back in towards a regular schedule. Everyone is kind of getting back to that routine. And the routine means a different thing to different people. But in any case, we are back into a kind of a regular Monday through Friday type of schedule. People are going back to school. Work schedules are solidified. You know, places around, at least the New York area, that have the early dismissal thing happening in the summer, that's over. And we're getting back to kind of back to reality.
Yeah. Well, this is some of the research we did in preparing for the show. There was another clue, Ben, that another tool to use on how to confront the post-vacation blues. And it's that often when you go on a break or go away, you see the world in a different way. You're surrounded by different vistas. If you go to Paris, if you even go to Jones Beach or Long Island, I mean, you're seeing things that you don't see every day. And one of the tools that they tell you to do to keep that connection to who you were on those moments is to look at everything in a different way. Look at your friends in a different way. Look at your workspace. Look at the building you walk into in a different way. It's called derealization. There's a kind of derealization when you go away. You sort of afloat outside of reality. And that's just a function of the mind. That's what the mind can do when it's in a locale that it's not familiar with. Well, you can bring that with you. You can use that functionally, purposefully. When you come back to work, say, oh, how does this look for me if it were my first day here?
We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back after this, taking your phone calls. The number to call here in the studio, 212-757-5555. Love to hear about your experience of getting back to work after a vacation. Love to hear about how you deal with this transition.
Yes, and if you've come back from vacation changed, resolve to do things differently. Resolve to be different, be in a different way. I mean, I don't know. I love the space that I'm feeling today because of these, and I want to be able to incorporate this into my week. I don't understand why I lose it, and I don't want to lose it. So we want to know, what are some breaks from working have done for you, and how you've come back from them with a different perspective? And also maybe what are some of the highlights of good vacations that you've had?
All right, so let's take a quick musical break. We'll be back after the music, taking your calls at 212-757-5555. Bob Marley here on WBAI. You're listening to The Positive Mind. We're talking about getting back to work after a long summer, after Labor Day weekend. It's kind of the Tuesday after Labor Day where we all get back to real life reality. So, Kevin, we got a caller on the line.
Gene is on the line. Gene, are you there?
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right. Well, I look at it in a different way because I'm one of those percent of people that can't have a vacation with don't.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. The thing is, I look out at nature because I really think,
perfect,
as human beings, we participated in creating this. That jobs are overrated anyway, and
right,
it's, a lot of times people feel stuck. So I guess that's why people say if you can have something in your life that you like and you go to it, but that's not usually the case for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I just look out at nature because, you know, you have the birds in the wintertime, you have the birds in the summertime. There's certain things, you know, that you look at, so it connects me. You know, I feel like
you're
I'm on vacation sometimes, even when I just look out the window.
There you go.
But, you know, work, jobs, this thing called created jobs, I don't see anything out in nature, speaking naturally, that's going to one. And, you know, so they have much more freedom. And when they're closed in, I guess if they had to go to a job, they will feel closed in. So I guess regardless of vacation or not, just the way jobs are set up for human beings, you just feel constricted anyway. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. So you've found some magical way of avoiding feeling constricted, or
I don't know if it's magical, but nature,
yeah,
and I call it the concrete jungle that I live in.
Yeah.
I'm in New Jersey, but nature, you can, you know, certain things, it doesn't change. You still have the birds, you still have the beautiful sky, you still have trees, even though they're branches, but they still are there to remind you,
perfect,
that you're still connected to something that's not used to the so-called job program. And sometimes I can look out my window or take a walk and actually, because I, you know, can't take a vacation, actually feel connected and away from the mundane. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think I do understand what you're saying. And
all right, well, thank you so much.
No, thank you, Gene. Thank you so much. You know, he brings up this important quality of getting in touch with nature and nature as a sort of rejuvenator. You know, with the sun shining the last 5 days, I mean, that in itself can be a rejuvenator. So it sounds like Gene gets in touch with this whenever he needs to.
That's a good point.
And
yeah,
that's, you know, that's optimal. Hold on.
So thanks for the call, Gene. I know we had a caller on the line, Bruce. I don't know if that's Bruce calling us back, but we lost connection with him. So I think it looks like we got Bruce back on the line. Bruce, hey, sorry we lost you, Bruce. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for calling us back. What's going on? What's your take?
My thoughts completely with the last caller. Like, nothing could be more beautiful than nature. I just love it. It's an escape for me, I guess. I want to get into it a little more. But, like, I'm just working a little bit too much. I got exhaustion or fatigue.
Yeah.
And it's wearing me out, but I have a lot of bills, and it's not working out too well either. So,
did
I'm trying
to
hang in
weekend,
there,
Bruce.
So,
did you take a long? Did you get a long weekend? I mean, you know, I totally agree with you. I mean, the best vacations for me are when I'm in nature. You know, and
yeah, the one good thing is I landscape, so I'm outside all the time.
Oh, terrific!
But I'm getting, like, I do it myself, and I'm just getting overloaded. There's a lot of good things. It's my own business, but I'm kind of getting overloaded.
Mm.
And I'm pretty much working weekends, like 10, 12 hours a day. Now the days are getting shorter since spring. So I'm just trying to get out of my financial problems here. So, but it's kind of like taking a toll on me. It's like
Are there days or moments when you love being a landscaper?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Oh, it's great. I like what I do. I feel like I really know what I'm doing. I feel empowered. My customers really like me. I really like them.
Mm.
It's just unfortunate that sometimes I can't quite schedule everybody in the way I want. So that gets kind of stressful because I don't want to lose customers or just,
sure,
you know.
What about
the
smell of
the best job I can?
What about the smell of cut grass?
Oh, yeah, that's great. You know what? I'm kind of, because I do it all the time, it's like I guess I don't notice it as much. You know, like if you've been away from it for a few years, maybe, you know. I'm just used to it now.
Right, I understand. But I think that could probably rejuvenate you a little bit when you're worried about your customers. Just that smell of grass. So many people want that smell that you get to have it as, you know, for 6 months of the year. So look,
and the pollen too.
Yeah, well,
that's
kind
of affecting me, I think, a little. But I'm hanging in there with that. That's okay.
Hey, Bruce, you're reminding us what's important, what really works for people is nature. So thanks for calling us. Call us again.
Thank you.
Sure. Bye bye.
Take care, Bruce. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're talking about getting back to life, getting back to regular schedule after time off, after a vacation, after a long weekend like the one we just had. And have you been able to use that as an opportunity, as a springboard for change in your life? Or has it been a struggle for you? Has it been something that's been hard to really get back and adjusted to? Let us know. 212-757-5555. You are listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. We are rolling on into September with some exciting and interesting programming that we're looking forward to bringing you, some guests that you may not have heard, some people you may be unfamiliar with that we're going to bring to you later on this month, and we're excited to get to that point. So stay tuned. Remember, we're here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. We have another caller on the line, Kevin.
Ben, we have Mel on the line. Mel, how are you today?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Tell us about that.
My question is, are you really like, who are you addressing in terms of your comments? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, you know, your subject or your approach, other than the fact that I think a lot of people, myself included, haven't known what a vacation is more than 1 or 2 days in the last 20 years.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not talking about weekends or 3-day weekends. I'm talking about just getting away from the daily grind, or going to the to a resort or to the shore for a week or something like that. I mean, who can afford it? People can't afford that.
Yeah, I get your point, and we did talk about that before the show, but mostly we want to emphasize this non-working person. Who are you when you're not working? Do you get a relief from your working self? I mean, it's a good point you're making. And thanks for doing it. But how about the non-working? I mean, everybody knows moments when you're part of or connected to their non-working self. Do you know what I mean by that?
I understand what you're saying, yeah.
So how do you do it? How do you get in touch with that, Mel?
Usually I don't. Usually I get too stressed out trying to attend to the daily things of have to go shopping, go to the bank, pay a bill. Yeah. This, that, or the other thing. I guess I don't pay attention enough to the fact that I'm not having to sit in an office in front of a computer.
Right. Do you have a partner? Do you have somebody you share the load with?
Of sorts. No, not. I can't say this.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, because I know what you mean. You can get caught up in doing all the shopping and all the chores and all the work. You kind of lose touch and lose connection with who you are when you're not working. How about coffee? Do you drink coffee? I mean, when do you get a peaceful moment?
I can believe this. I'm 69 years old. This is the first 6 months of my life I've been drinking coffee.
You have been?
It's the first time in my life I've ever drank coffee in the last 6 months, and I actually enjoy it.
Okay, so you get moments when you're, you know, having a cup of coffee or, you know, not working that you can really feel at ease, feel calm?
Yeah.
See, that's kind of the focus of the show. Thanks for, bringing it out. That's true. A lot of people haven't had a vacation in 20 years. I've gone years without vacationing myself, and I don't like it. And,
I hear you.
You know, it's good to be able to get back to a taste of it, and that's kind of all we want to do today is give you a taste. So all I can do is encourage you, Gene, find those moments. Find those moments. And thanks for calling. Okay. So, you know, he's talking about, you know, something a lot of people are struggling with, that they don't get a break from their working self, you know, that the economy has been this way for 20 years now, and they're not in touch with this relaxed part of themselves. So it's a good question, like, what audience are we trying to reach? Well, we're trying to reach people who either need connection to a part of their non-working self, or people who are just getting back from having experienced a period of time of not working.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you say the non-working self, Kevin, because, you know, as a caller Mel said, it's true that there are a lot of people out there who simply aren't able to take a vacation, but everyone at one point or another, everyone can identify with the non-work version of themselves. And that is something that, you know, you might even identify that with that during the workday. You know, when you take lunch, that's the non-working self, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
When we get a brief break from the sort of day to day, if you want to call it that.
And we have Bill on the line. Hey, Bill.
Yes, hello.
Thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm okay. First, you guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Armand did a wonderful job, and you guys are carrying on.
Thanks so much.
Sure. I just wanted to mention two things briefly. I was on vacation last week up until Monday, back in work, and just going through a depression because I guess I got depressed since I was a child in the fall.
Mm.
And I'm struggling with some stuff right now. My partner's handicapped, and it's just tough getting back. But
yeah. So can you tell some people what it's like to have SAD, seasonal affective? What kind of symptoms do you feel?
I'll tell you something real briefly. I learned about it after going through therapy a lot of years ago. This sounds crazy. Whenever it got cloudy, I used to get instantly depressed, and I realized that I didn't go to kindergarten. All my friends in my neighborhood went to kindergarten, and I actually remember playing in the dirt out back in the playground, and it got cloudy, and I was the only one there. My whole universe had changed. So since then, I get depressed when it's dark out, and it's just it's like it's a glass full, half empty, you know,
Yeah. Instead
of half full.
Yeah, and you can contrast it with, let's say, the month of June when the sun is up longer.
When the sun is out and I seem to feel better then, but I'm also like I said, my partner's handicapped. It's been a tough several years, and just dealing with that. We were together all last week, which was great, and going back to work is just, you know, just kind of depressing. But I wanted to say also going back a lot of years ago, 5-6 years ago, I was laid off. I was out of work for, it was a miracle, exactly 365 days. My unemployment had run out, and I got a job just as I was about to become destitute.
Yeah.
But I learned so much during that period. I volunteered every week at a homeless shelter to serve lunch to people and just got to see, you know, dude, you ain't doing so bad. You know, look around you.
Yeah.
And that was helpful.
And you don't have any room for that non-working self in your world today? Can you, you know, do you miss the volunteer work?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, again, because of my partner, my fiance, I have somebody with me during the day, but I'm like a 24/7 caretaker.
Yeah,
when I'm not in work, you know.
Yes, I understand.
So there's not a lot of downtime. I love her to test.
Well, you're doing your volunteer work with your partner, it sounds like. I mean, you're giving a lot and giving all the time. So you really are in a place where you need to monitor your mood, right, Bill? I mean, the darker days are coming. You're a caretaker. The stress is mounting. You really have to monitor your moods and find ways to get moments for yourself to rejuvenate. So, look, we got another call coming in. Call us again, Bill. I appreciate your opening comments, and we'd like you to call us again.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
You will. Thanks.
Take care. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. We are heading in the home stretch here. We're talking about getting back to work after being away, after a layoff, after vacation, time off, and getting back into that routine. It can be a very difficult thing. It can be a challenge. It's rattling. It's unusual. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, it's different for everyone.
Ben, we have an old friend. Theo is on the line. Theo, how are you?
How are you fellas doing? You guys are on target today, I'll tell you that.
Hey, thank you. It's good, so to,
good
hear
to hear
from
your
you.
Voice.
I'll tell you what really works is doing yoga.
Go ahead.
You come out of a yoga class, and you are in vacation land.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. You just have a sense of space. You're creating space in your body so your mind can breathe, your body can breathe, and wherever you create space, that's where you create space in life for events that are happening. So I've been doing yoga for, like, as you know, probably close to 40 years, and that's what I find. Every time I come out of there, bingo. I am just
we
so
know,
free.
And we received some of the benefits of your instruction, Theo. We remember it, and I think you're right.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, you know, and you're highlighting the magical word is space.
That's true.
So you interact with a lot of people who are under stress.
Oh, absolutely, all the time. I mean, and one of the things I have them do is breathe. I mean, just breathing, just watching the inhalation, watch the exhalation, watch the blue come in, watch the red go out. The chi is involved and hanging on to the blue, and the red is the tension leaving your body. I mean, the waves come in, the waves go out, the flowers open, the flowers close. You just go through these kind of sequences, and after a while, you're just, the breath is taking over, you know, and you can't be in two places at one time, you know, only one place. So if you choose to be in a stressful, you know, place in your mind where you're just ruminating over thoughts, you know, obsessive thinking, you can't be there if you're breathing, you know, you just can't.
So
that's
totally
my little
thank point. You so much, Theo. It's right on target. We have to have you come here to the Positive Mind Center and teach people how to breathe and do yoga.
Well, let's talk. You've
you
got
know,
my number. I got your number somewhere
do,
in my wallet
do.
Here, and I'll give you a shout later on. We'll further go on with that. And Ben, always good to hear your voice.
Yeah, great to hear from you, Theo.
You guys are great.
Thanks
all right,
so much.
Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
You too.
Okay.
Be well.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye-bye.
Oh, Theo. And it's as simple as that, like a yoga class. You know, just breathe.
Yeah.
You can breathe.
We should do a show on yoga sometime, Kevin.
I think
there's
so.
There's so much to really break down and to get into around that.
Totally, absolutely, and I'm Theo can go into the intricacies of it. I mean, I was part of one of his demonstrations, and you know, it's you don't get stuck in like naming every position. He just guides you gently to as far as you can go, and then he has you loosen up and relax, and then he takes you in another direction. And so it's changing, you know, your inner climate, and I think yoga is a really great way to do that.
212-757-5555. We have time maybe to take one more call today. What do you think? One more call, Kevin?
I think so. And we'd love to get a female caller to call in who's been on vacation or knows what it's like to have their non-working self.
Sure.
And come back to a non-working self.
So that's 212-757-5555, the number to call here in our studios. We're broadcasting from the Positive Mind Center here on West 57th Street in Manhattan. And we'd love to hear from you. 212-757-5555. Nice round symmetrical number. Armand picked it out. He was a big fan of repeating integers, repeating digits, and nice round symmetrical numbers.
Yeah. Have you ever done yoga?
I have, Kevin. I have.
And did you get in touch with that space that he's talking
about?
You know,
I've done different kinds of yoga. I took a yoga class in college. I did the hot yoga, you know, in a room that was 100 degrees.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I got to say, the time that I did the hot yoga, I was in the best shape of my life physically. I mean, I was going to the gym and lifting weights all the time. I was just in really good shape. And I did this hot yoga for 1 hour, and I was sore for days. Yeah. I mean, I could go to the gym and lift heavy weights and be okay. And then I did this hot yoga, and I was, you know, using muscles and in positions that I had never been in. And I was sore for days after that. So in some ways, you know, it's a very unique workout in some ways, different than even lifting heavy weights.
I guess after the class, you felt a double relief, you know, a double breath, you know, one having done the yoga and then also going through the stress of 100-degree heat in the room. It must have been like a double whammy. Did you feel like a spaciousness afterwards that Theo was talking about?
You know, I felt completely relaxed after that.
Yeah.
There's something about being in that heat. I mean, it kind of makes you like, it makes your body like jelly.
Yeah.
It turns you into silly putty. And I was definitely able to stretch more than I normally would be.
Okay.
And I could, but I'm telling you, Kevin, I was sore because my body wasn't used to it. My body wasn't ready for it. My body wasn't acclimated to it.
Mm.
And I was in a room with people who are much more experienced than I was.
Yeah.
Who were used to it.
Okay.
And I was trying to keep, I was trying to keep up, you know?
Sure.
But there was no way that I was ready for that. You know, I was kind of biting off more than I could chew. But I remember it fondly, even though I left there feeling sore, you know. And then I woke up the next day feeling like I got hit by a truck. But, you know, in the end, I have definitely enjoyed the yoga that I've done. I just haven't done it on a regular basis.
Yeah, and with a good introductory instructor, you know, you don't push yourself beyond your limits. You know, it's the kind of thing that you build up to try and keep up with everybody in the class sort of defeats the purpose of it. So to go slow and gradually build to some flexibility.
So I want to just let our listeners know we are going to have two guests coming on towards the end of this month that you may be unfamiliar with. We're very excited to introduce them to you. Talking about ideas, concepts, and guests that we may not have even discussed recently. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And we're looking towards the last couple weeks of September for those two guests. So also just want to remind everyone, please become a BAI buddy. Go to WBAI.org, click on Ways to Donate, and become a BAI buddy in the name of the Positive Mind. If you like this program, if you like this station, if you want to support the work and the research that goes on, both on WBAI and here on the Positive Mind, become a BAI buddy, and it's a tax-deductible recurring contribution. It allows us to have fewer fund drives and have more content. So I know that, you know, listeners and producers alike would like to have fewer fund drives. So please become a BAI buddy today and help us achieve that goal. And remember, you can hear us here Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. on 99.5 FM. You can also hear us on iTunes. We're podcast. It's free. Just go on the iTunes store and search for The Positive Mind and subscribe. You get all new episodes automatically downloaded to your computer. And feel free to send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. That's positivemind@wbai.org. And stay tuned for the Artsy Fartsy Show with Barika Edwards. That's coming up at 2. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. Take care.